Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Number 205. With Christian Welch. Been meaning to get this guy on for a while now. Incredible dude, incredible football player. Great story from small town Wisconsin. Comes to play for the black and gold. And boy, did he show out when he played for the Hawkeyes. Now with the Baltimore Ravens, we catch up with Christian and everything going on in his life. We're excited to sit down and let you guys hear this one. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Back, Wash the Walk-Ons fans, episode 205 of the podcast, and today we've got a really dope guest on who actually is a guest who I'm maybe potentially top five most jealous of in the entire world, and that's because this guy gets to live out my entire childhood dream. If I take you back to like 1998, maybe even 97, all the way to like 2005, I ran around the house terrorizing my dad in a Ray Lewis jersey because I was bound and fucking determined to be the next middle linebacker for the Baltimore Ravens because Ray Lewis is my favorite player. And today, got a former teammate on, Christian Welch, now linebacker for the Baltimore Ravens, making me one jealous asshole. Christian, welcome to the podcast.
And that was a really nice intro, Drake. Appreciate that.
He's done it a few times. You know, you still play. You still play football. We moved on to smaller and lesser things. And so, but now we can talk really well to a microphone. Just incredible, right?
Yeah. And now I'm eating my breakfast. I just bit my tongue. Motherfucker.
Damn. A guy who I was really hoping would be here, and we talked about it right before we hit the record button, was Kevin Ward. Some of you may know him who listen to the podcast. He is supposedly one third of the Wash Up Walk-Ons. We're reconsidering that on a consistent basis at this point. He would probably have a lot of good insight about Christian. And who knows? He said he's out at breakfast. There was a miscommunication. What would you call it, Drake? A miscommunication, or is Kevin just...
No, I would not call this a miscommunication. I would call this Kevin intentionally fucking up again because he doesn't want to come on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Because when Kluver said, yeah, we're looking for a second episode, maybe tomorrow afternoon. And I told him not until after the Masters. And you said, okay, we'll record with Christian in the morning at 9. It seemed very, very clear what the plan for today was.
Okay. And I think the general consensus, even though that may or may not be true, would be that Kevin is usually the most intelligent one, or at least acts the most intelligently between the three of us on this podcast. So you would think he would get that, but he did not. Nonetheless, we've done this many times. Christian, we're very excited to have you here. What's been going on in the world of Christian Welch lately?
It's been a lot of fun, really just doing the off season deal right now. You know, just been working on. I'm actually living. It doesn't feel like I'm a vet yet, really.
Yeah, but once you're not a rookie anymore, that's a big fucking deal.
Yeah, it is. It is taking the next step into my second year now. But it's been good. I've just been actually training at the University of Iowa, and it's been nice to hang out with Werfs and kind of catch up with some other guys that are at Parker Hesse and stuff. But, yeah, just been training. We're going to start OTAs here in a week from tomorrow. Wow. Still kind of waiting to see if it's going to be virtual or in person. Damn. So there's that.
So you're back in Iowa City right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. You still have you've got the jerseys up behind you for those watching the YouTube edition of this. He's got the 3-4 in the black and gold. And then, God, that purple and black looks good, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Bro,
I had to do the black jersey.
I mean, just now that you got that up on the wall, like, did you ever imagine, like, you know, Iola, Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, yep.
1,300 people.
Yeah, on a good day. Maybe on Sunday.
If there wasn't everybody too many obituaries in the paper.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
I mean, who's the most famous person from that? I looked it up. It called it a village. It wasn't a town.
Right.
They called it a village on Wikipedia. So who – I mean, you got to be it, right?
Yeah, I mean, there was actually probably 10 years ago now. Another guy went to my high school and played in the NFL. He played for the Jaguars for, I think it was at least 3 or 4 years, his rookie contract. And then he bounced around. He played for the Bears for like a year. So I'm not the only NFL guy to come out of my little town.
All right.
But
we have a lot of, because I come from a place with like 20,000 more people or 20 times more people than that. And we have zero. So you guys have two coming from a village. Makes me feel terrible.
Yeah, there's definitely like a sense of pride coming from like my little town, like in the central Wisconsin area. There's like Amherst, Wisconsin, where Tyler Biadasz, who was the center for Wisconsin. I don't know if you guys remember
good
him.
Good as hell. Yeah.
I played him in high school.
Wow.
And Garrett Groshek, they went to the same high school, Tyler and him.
Holy smokes. Like, I knew, did they dominate?
Yeah. Yeah, they destroyed us, and they won state, I think, at least 1 or 2, 3 years.
That Groshek kid, both of those kids are like those guys that you're like, God damn it. Like, why are they – I don't want to – they're so good. They're Iowa guys that didn't play for Iowa is what they are.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. They're sneaky good. Like I grew up with Tyler. I played with him on, like, my AAU basketball team.
Wow.
Played each other in high school and stuff, so we knew each other pretty well. And he's always like a very smooth, like, athletic dude. And as soon as, because he actually went to Wisconsin as a D lineman, so like, oh, like, that'll be a good fit. And then they moved him to offensive line. I'm like, oh, what are they doing? Next thing you know, he's like a freshman All-American. I'm like, dang. Like, so he definitely made the best of it.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I don't think moving to offensive line in Wisconsin's ever the wrong move, though.
No, yeah, especially with his athleticism.
It's insane.
So quick shout out.
So you go from all the way from there, and I think I read like you graduated with 52 people, and there was like 200, there's like 240 in the school, which is wild, right? Like you were going to science class and making lunch for the school. Like, that's the kind of situation you came from. And like Christian's flipping pancakes on every Thursday morning. And now you sit there and you've got Welch on the back of a freaking Ravens jersey, dude. Like, is that crazy? Yeah. Do you ever get a weird sense of dissociation, and you're like, you catch yourself like, how am I living this life? What is this?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely like a surreal feeling. Obviously, like, when you come up like through high school, that's always like kind of the dream, right? Like, that's like the end goal. So it's always kind of been like in the back of my mind, like in like a weird way. You kind of know what I'm saying. Like, I kind of came through high school, played, like, you know what I mean? Like, played sports my whole life. And like, that was kind of like the dream, right? Like, and actually, quick side tangent, I actually wanted to play college basketball until like my sophomore year of high school.
I was going to ask.
How many people come on this podcast and say that?
Yeah. You mentioned you play AAU. Yeah. I was going to ask if you could ball.
Yeah. Yeah. I was a hooper. Definitely. Like my freshman and sophomore year of high school. I think I averaged like 20 or more points on
it.
Yeah, small schools I get like, but I was pretty dedicated. Like,
I'm going to have to find some Christian Welch b-ball highlights.
Yeah, I don't know if there's much out there.
I got to find them.
I don't know. Maybe there is.
So you thought that was the path once you got to like 15, 16 years old.
Right. Yeah. And then it kind of got more attention throughout really my junior year. It kind of picked up, and like Tim Polasek's actually from my hometown.
Yeah.
Too.
He's on the list of things I wanted to ask about. I'll get there in a second, but go on.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, so like I was talking to him because, you know, I wanted to play. I kind of was getting more attention, and like North Dakota State was where he was at.
Mm-hmm.
So like he was kind of a guy that was kind of grabbing my attention. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I could do this college football thing. Like, and obviously I love football. Like that was always a passion too. Like, don't get me wrong. Like I love basketball too, but ultimately I wanted to get a full scholarship, like go play in the college and, you know, whatever happens after that, you know, but Coach Polasek, North Dakota State was actually my first offer coming out of high school. So, and then he was kind of the guy that recruited me, recruited Wisconsin and stuff. And he was, that's kind of how my recruiting started, really.
Okay.
And they're obviously a respected, you know, school, North Dakota State, hard nosed, kind of similar sort of mindset or culture as Iowa. I kind of took his advice. He's like, yeah, just go to different camps and stuff. And that's kind of what I did, like my junior year. Went to a lot of camps in the summer. Iowa was one of them, Minnesota, Wisconsin, you know, the kind of the whole mix. So yeah, I went, did that. And it was my junior year, Iowa, and I'm getting offered a scholarship after doing that whole deal. I'm sure you guys done the same thing, but
let's back it up there. Back it up. We did the stuff.
I'm at the camp scene, right?
Right. Like, now that's okay, Christian. You can throw that in our face. You can flap that.
I didn't mean to throw shade in that.
No. It's
See, at 205 episodes in, those are the moments that still make this thing fun to listen to, is that us getting shit on a little bit. People do enjoy that.
Yeah. It does kind of bring it back to like I've kind of felt like I was in the locker room there, because there were so many times in college where, you know, you're just having a conversation with a guy and they're like, talking something that relates to the scholarship or like getting, I think one year somebody asked me, it was my second year starting, which I mean, granted, you would assume like a second year starter, like they're probably on scholarship, right? Not in my case. Mm.
You would think. Yeah.
And so I think one of the other guys came up and was like, "Hey, Kluve, have you gotten your books yet? Like, do you know when we got to go get our books?" And I was like,
Yeah.
Like, hey, my guy, I'm buying my books this year. So
I did that. Yeah, I've done that to Keith a couple of times, like before he got scholarship.
Yep.
And I was like, dang, I'm sorry, bro. Like,
No.
It
was a lot worse. And you don't know anything about this life, but me and Drake do heavy. It was a lot worse when we were freshman year, 2013. We would have to go to Hillcrest for the training table, right? We only got 4 meals a week.
Yeah.
And I don't want to sound like a victim here, because we were still getting 4 meals a week. It was more than
that. Yeah, dude, you came in, you don't understand the struggle.
Nah.
Jacobson and going to Hillcrest for one meal per night. Mm-hmm. It, you don't know.
And we'd go over there and you'd check in. You'd still have to swipe your university ID, right?
Yeah.
Because the scholarship guys, they had, you know, something like logged into theirs where it was, they swipe it and it canceled out the balance of the meal. Well, the walk-on guys swipe theirs and it charges your ass. And so it felt real. I don't know. It definitely was like,
okay. So you had to pay to get into the party. Like, you know, how you hate from outside the club, you can't even get in. Like, we were going and paying extra to eat cafeteria food just so we could eat it in a special room with our friends.
With our
That's
teammates.
What the situation was.
It was so trash, dude. Now that I think about it, I don't know why I ever went. We weren't like required to go as walk-ons because it was like a paid thing, right? We were essentially like invited to the party, but had to pay our own way in. Yeah, that was what the hell, man. Drake, suck, dude. That's all right. Let's be honest, the food was trash too. It was so bad. So anyway, we did go to those camps, Christian. In fact, Drake and I first ever, we didn't know it yet, but later I connected the dots. Our freshman year, we went to the Iowa football camp. And that was the first time we ever like met each other. And
I was poop back then.
And I was not.
Yeah.
But that's beside the point. This episode's about
that's
you.
All right.
We ended up eventually making our way into the locker room as well, but yeah, you got the offer and that had to feel pretty good.
Yeah. That was definitely, cause you know, everything Coach Wallace is the one that really recruited me.
Right.
So, I mean, obviously we had that like relationship and I knew he was going to end up being my position coach.
Christian, which get your fucking pads down.
Yeah. 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 I still see him since I train at the university. I still get to see him every now and then.
You have that PTSD, that Wallace PTSD where you hear him in your dreams, like rip Christian.
Not anymore.
Now that you're not his player anymore and all the shit that he's given you all the years, do you just tell him to find a fucking elliptical?
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, you definitely dish it back to him. Like my junior and my senior year, once I started like starting and stuff. Yeah. That's the only way you can really get him off your back.
Isn't that fun when you get older and you kind of gain that respect in the program and you can fuck around with the coaches like that? How fun was that, dude?
That's like the best part of like in practice, you know, like, he tried to like coach you up on something or like really, I mean, you know, the difference between him like coaching you or him just like getting on your ass. Like, so like, yeah, when he would do that, I just dish it right back. And like, yeah, we just kind of laugh about it and really just have a lot of fun that way.
I remember we used to go into punt period and specialists would roll over there, you know, like everyone's almost out. Yeah. KF walks out of the door and you kind of understand like, okay, practice is about to roll here. Yeah. Punt walk is about to happen. And Coach Wallace is standing there like, talking shit to me, and I'd be like, Coach, I will throw 10 snaps over the punter's head to start this period, and I will fuck up the whole day. I swear to God, I'll do it.
Yeah, that'll get his blood pressure up a little bit.
Oh, God, his blood pressure is – the doctors hate Seth Wallace. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't like –
it was like his baby, too. Like, like, at least when you were there, right? Like,
oh, my God.
He's going to the traders every day, and they're like – Coach, you're taking none of our advice. You're doing everything opposite of what we're telling you.
Yeah, yeah.
And you think we're going to fix it?
Dude.
No.
That guy. Talk about Coach Wallace. We'll get back to where we were in the story. But, so actually, I'm going to go back to Polisek, too. So, we had Polisek on the podcast. Legendary episode. Okay. You should listen to it. He talked about how... We asked him how he kind of found his way. I think Drake said something like, how do you think you became in the picture for Iowa when he was hired, right? And what he said was, while he was at North Dakota State, Wallace and him actually struck up a relationship on the recruiting trail because Wallace would tell him, like, basically he would just follow Polisek around because Polisek was finding all the diamonds in the rough. And so it makes sense when you say that, you know, Polisek kind of found you. You guys had that relationship, and then Wallace swooped in. So Wallace is just he's sloppy seconds. It all makes sense. It all makes sense now. Seth Wallace is getting the sloppy seconds. He's stealing them.
Sure,
I understand, really. Coach. I understand. but so Wallace comes in. That's your first Division I offer, right?
I had a Bowling Green offer, so that's really the first FBS school.
Okay. And so did that validate you, like, kind of your feeling of, like, damn, I think I could do this. Like, this is actually...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I kind of felt... I'm sure I was probably a little, like, naive, but, like, I always felt like I was overlooked. Like,
the underdog.
Like, I came in... Yeah, like, I knew I was coming from a small school, and, like, I knew I was going to kind of have to, like, get it out the mud, like, type, like, mentality, and... Yeah, like, I felt like I was overlooked. Obviously, I think I had, like, 2 stars, like, the whole, like, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't matter that much. But, like, I just looked at that, and I was kind of like, they don't really know. Like, and I eventually did get a 3-star, so I think I wasn't a 2-star forever. But, yeah, that's, like, it really mattered. Like, it was, like, after my Iowa offer. Like,
that's you know who that's better than? That's better than Josie Jewell.
Yeah, right. That's a cool story, too. But, but yeah, like, I just felt like I was overlooked. And so that's why I went to these camps. Like, that was my way to prove that I could come in. And, you know, I was a somewhat athletic kid. I wasn't great at football by any means. I don't think probably any of us were really that great at football. Maybe you, Clue, but
no, on that. Wow. Yeah. I was great freshman year. I was the best Iowa freshman football player there ever was. And then I never got any better. It was tough. So here's a quick look into our high school careers. Drake, when we were 15 years old in 2009, Drake was 140 pounds sopping wet. And I was a solid 195, 5'10". I was on my way. Yeah. And then things really took a turn. How big were you in high school? And then how big were you when you got to Iowa?
So like my senior year, I was around 210. I was over 200 for sure.
Sheesh.
210, 215. Yeah, I was.
You're 6'3", though.
Too. Yeah, 6'3". Yeah, I got a decent frame, I guess. But yeah, I came in at Iowa and I was 215, like the first time we weighed in.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, I remember running track that last year and I was like 220. I didn't weigh in like every day, but like I was pretty.
Guy was getting beefy. Like,
yeah, I was. I mean, shout out to my high school coach, Coach Scott Erickson. Like he really is like, I wouldn't be where I am without him and my dad too. Like, they really instilled a lot of, you know, the skills, the work ethic, the discipline, all that in me. Like my high school coach, I started really doing like really working out like in sixth grade. Like,
yeah.
Like we would do like the speed training stuff that he would have set up in like our gym and our like fitness center. Like,
yep.
So I would be in there like working out with him like since I was young and like him, he taught me how to like lift and, you know, do all that. So like me getting up to over 200 pounds was really just a tribute to him, you know, helping me through that whole process and get me ready to go play college football.
You just put in the time. Yeah.
Yeah. I could really just like kind of bought in
to
what he was telling me. And like Austin Lane, the other guy I was talking about, went to the NFL. Like it's been done. He went to Murray State. So he went to a little bit smaller school. But like, I just kind of like bought in. I just, you know, kind of went throughout that, you know, trail of just, I'm just going to work hard and I'm just going to see what happens. So.
Well, it played out pretty decent. Yeah. Paulisek said, so he mentioned you and he's like, yeah, I'm from that same area. He's from Iola.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like went to the same high school and everything.
Right. So, and the same high school coach.
Yeah. So we asked, we asked him about, I don't know how you came up, but he was talking about how he did not think you were going to play your freshman year. And he was like really surprised that you made it onto the field. I don't think he was calling you like trash or anything, but he was just surprised. Like you were.
Yeah.
And he was, I mean, he really spoke highly of you. And I remember you being one of, you know, maybe 8 or 10 guys that got on the field that year. And you just, I mean, you know, you said you weren't very good at football or, you know, but you were athletic. I mean, you were athletic enough to play special teams. And you had 3 guys in front of you, including the asshole Kevin Ward as a fourth guy in the linebacker room. Bo, Josie, Ben, and Kevin, really 4 prototypes that in relativity are very similar to you, right? Like same kind of story. All kind of under recruited, all beefed up, came in around the same size, beefed up to the same size as you would eventually turn into. Like, was that, did you think that played a large role in kind of basically showing you the answers to the test over the next 4 years? And you just really had to follow them. Like, talk about their leadership and just situation.
Yeah. I mean, coming in as a young guy, like you said, I was just really raw coming out of high school. I mean, I played a small school in high, you know what I mean? Like, you don't know a ton. I mean, you know, some football, but yeah, like sitting behind Josie and really trying to dissect the game and understand, like, I was, you know, it's not necessarily complex, but everything that we do is there's a reason why, and really understanding why that is going to help you understand the defense as a whole. And as like a linebacker, that's really what you have to understand to really be, you know, successful, especially at the mic position, which is really what I wanted to do. I kind of wanted to be in, you know, that sort of that control position where you, you know, make more calls or what have you. But yeah, sitting behind Josie, I would just literally stand behind him at practice, walk through period, didn't matter. And I would just try to like put myself in his, like, I would just look at the offensive line. I would look at the formation. I would look at everything that he was. And then I would hear his call that he would make. And I would always try to emulate, like, okay, yeah, I would have made that call. Or why did he make that? You know what I mean? Like, try to really put myself in that position.
It's the mental reps. And
exactly. Like, the mental side is what I really bought into my freshman and sophomore, I mean, really my whole career. But, like, that when I really didn't know and I was just – I was just super hungry and wanted to prove to myself and to my teammates that I could play at the Big Ten level. That was really what it was all about for me, at least early on.
Sounds like
Josie. Josie and Bo, Ben, all those guys, Kevin, even on special teams. Yeah. Really being able to kind of like dissect their sort of mindset or how they look at certain things, you know, scheme wise or just, you know, in general as a man, a player, whatever you want to say.
Yep.
No, they definitely helped me out a lot. No, for sure. And big credit to them, you know, being great leaders.
Yeah.
And, except for, you know, Kevin. Even you guys. Not Kevin, no. But yeah, that makes me think of a couple of times when Kevin special teams.
Tell me a story. Yeah. Tell me when Kevin freaked out.
I just remember a couple of times where, like, I don't remember specifically what happened on a certain play. Yeah, you
do. Give the whole rundown.
I really don't. I just remember, like, Kevin, like, being on the sideline, like, well, effing, don't effing. Like, he just was, like, so, like, being such, like, a hard ass.
He's a psycho. Bro,
like, what do you do? Like, just relax. Like, we'll get it corrected. Like, whatever. Like everything's cool. Like, they didn't block a punt on our, like, it wasn't anything, like, crazy that happened. I just remember him, like, coming to the sideline, like, trying to, like, low-key, like, cuss me out. I was like, bro, like, we're good. Like, stop.
Drake,
like,
Drake, how, I mean, that's to a T, man. Like, what? Like,
yeah.
Kevin knew better than to ever try that shit on me. I punched him in his face so quick.
Dude, yeah. And I was a young guy, so I was like, you know, I mean, I'm just trying to, like, you know, take it and, you know, go from there. But I just remember a couple times that, man, he was fired up about a couple different things.
Dude, he's still that way. Like, I just imagine Kevin, like, showing up at the hospital and someone goes into surgery and he notices that someone doesn't scrub in and he just starts freaking out. Wash your fucking hands! Hey! Wash your fucking hands! Like, that's Kevin,
dude. 100%, yes.
I swear to God, he would come off the field and the play would go great.
General managers ask questions to find the right players, like, do they have ice in their veins? When you're hiring, you can use Indeed assessments to make sure you find the right candidates with the skills you need. Don't just hope your perfect candidate will find you. Indeed's hiring tools help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. In fact, Indeed Instant Match provides a list of quality candidates whose resumes are on Indeed the moment you post a sponsored job. And with Indeed assessments, choose from 135 skills tests to help make sure you're finding applications from people with skills you need. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
Even get the tackle. But someone stepped on his shoe and messed up his shoelace. He's like, son of a bitch. Damn it. Like, his blood pressure visibly, you didn't even need a monitor. You could see it rise due to the skin color of his face every time he was. I mean, he was impossible to be around on game day. It was even in practice. Sometimes it was bad.
I was really hating that segment because Josie, Bo, Kevin, and Ben were all getting praise, which I just really don't like to hear.
Right, I know, and I hate it too.
But then we got her turned back around in the right direction.
Yeah, no, if we can shit on Kevin, it's a good day. Is Josie really a good dude?
Yeah, I mean, he kind of comes off as like a kind of like a hard ass, like at least like when I was like a freshman, you know,
right,
which is the same way when I was.
Yeah, he's soft as baby shit though.
Yeah.
Especially now,
I mean, like once you really get to know.
Have you seen the pictures he's been posting now that he's a girl?
Yeah, I have. I haven't really talked to him like lately, since he's even had the kid. But yeah, like he always like I said, he came off as like a hard ass, but like once you get to really know him, like he's a pretty like, you know, like he's kind of similar to me, like somewhat shy, like quiet, but like comes out and just puts work in. Like,
did he ever when you were sitting there? I mean, there's no way he blew you away mentally, right? Like, you were sitting there in the linebacker room and you were just like, wow, like, Josie's so smart at the game, you know? Like, did he ever, was there ever that, or does he just, like, he was just good on the field. He could just feel it. He just got lucky a lot, basically.
Not to keep praising, like you guys said, but Josie, I mean, he knew football. Like, that was, and like, I would admire a couple of times where, like Josie and like Coach Wallace would like go back and forth about like a certain coverage or like a front stunt or whatever it is. Like they would go back and forth. And as like a young guy, I'm like looking, I'm like, I have no idea what they're talking about.
Just trying to write everything down, figure it out.
Yeah, really. Yeah, seriously. Try to just be a sponge. But like, eventually, like, I got to that point, like, in my playing career, and I started to, like, really understand and be able to make, you know, quick adjustments and make decisions and stuff. So, it, like, it really kind of came full circle at some point. But, no, it definitely took time. And having guys like Josie, Ben, another really smart guy, like, would always ask questions or something.
Super Bowl champion, big head, triple XL helmet. Right. We get it.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. No,
did
Josie ever, like, did, like, you know, because you actually got, you came in 16. For those listening, Christian, for those listening that didn't want to go back and Google, Christian was there 16, 17, 18, 19, correct?
Yep.
And so you actually got to be there along with us for about 16 months, probably more than that, because you probably came in the summer of 16. So did Josie ever, like, be a good guy, like, say, hey, Christian, I want to take you out to dinner, try to talk to you? He ever take you out to dinner?
No.
God, what
we actually went fishing a couple times.
I went fishing with Josie too and broke two of his poles, dude.
Oh no.
Yeah, in Decorah, he was not happy.
So listen to this. No. Listen to this. Kluver broke two of Josie's fishing poles, almost killed Kevin on a vacation that he was taking on.
True.
And I'm pretty sure Bo was smart enough to never put a gun in his hand.
No, I did. He did.
You didn't shoot anybody though, right?
No, I was Mr. Sniper Chris Kyle on his property though.
I don't think I believe that part at all, but at least nobody died is the main point. But no. Kluver has like a thing for really fucking up his friends' deals and sometimes trying to take people's lives.
That's true. It's a true story. That's all right though. You don't have to worry about that, Christian, because we're probably never gonna hang out because you don't want to hang out with me. I'm just not that cool of a guy.
What's it like being teammates with Lamar Jackson? I have to know that. You have to tell me some like Lamar Jackson stuff because I'm pretty obsessed.
It was super surreal, like kind of seeing him like the first time in the locker room, like holy, like starstruck, which with a lot of the guys in the locker, like me being a rookie, and you know, it's kind of like been a dream of mine.
Mark Ingram also falls into that category, but not quite as much.
I mean, you've got the Heisman package on the team, like, I mean,
yeah, we got RG, we had RG. And Mark, Lamar.
Dude, how's Dobbins? I mean, you guys got some killers.
Yeah, we got some dudes for sure. No, it's super surreal. I mean, the first couple of times, but like once you kind of, not that I like really know Lamar, like on a, you know, first name basis or anything, but no, it's like, it's cool. Like he's a super, like pretty quiet guy, team guy, like, you know, doesn't say a whole lot, but like when we go out in the field, like then it's like, he just has like a boatload of fun. Like he's always joking around. I'm like messing around. Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, big trust.
Big trust.
You spend a lot of your time on the practice squad while you've been with the organization. Yeah. So you're probably the one up against those dudes in practice, right? Like you're the you've got the assignment of containing Lamar or whatever they want you to do with that. I mean, that's impossible. Does he ever do stuff in practice and you're just like, "Hey, calm down." We don't
100%. Yeah, 100%. Like he'll make even throw. Like people can say all what they want about his throwing, but like I've seen in practice where he'll do like no look, or he'll do like a sidearm like pitch to like, I don't know, like a out route or something, just like perfectly on time. He does like freaky stuff like that all the time. I mean, not even to talk about like his legs. Like, yeah, once we have a rule like practice squad, like don't even get 6 feet within Lamar. Like don't even. Which is honestly,
bro, coronavirus, dude. It's smart. You can't give Lamar coronavirus at practice.
And that's an easy rule when he's not going to allow it anyway.
Yeah. I mean, then you can just kind of like, you know, shut it down. Like, okay. Yeah. You know, I would have made a tech. No, but like you get close to him and then you just pull up. But yeah, like he's a just absolute freak. I mean, really great guy too. So that's the kind of teammate you want to have.
You were undrafted. Did that play into the whole mindset of I'm overlooked? Is it just kept on rolling?
That,
right?
Yeah, like that was kind of like a flashback to high school, like type, like kind of just getting in the door, you know. So I had a lot to prove. I had a big chip on my shoulder, and I knew that with signing with the Ravens, they had a history of undrafted guys coming in, linebackers specifically, coming in and playing special teams or potentially earning a starting role in, you know, a couple of years, whatever that looks like. I just knew that they had a history of that, and they weren't gonna, like, you're gonna come in, doesn't matter if you were drafted, undrafted, like they're gonna look at you the same way.
It's like Iowa
as everybody else. Yeah, exactly. So like I knew, like Coach Harbaugh, called me a couple times before the draft, and you know, I kind of got to know him a little bit and kind of knew what they thought of me. Like, so like that didn't happen with any other team. And there was other teams that had interest. Yeah. So like I knew that they were taking me seriously. And that I was, you know, if the opportunity presents itself, like I would have no problem signing on that, you know, line for this team, because I know that they're going to handle, you know, business the way that it should be done. And I knew that they didn't look at undrafted guys and kind of scoff or look the other direction. So yeah, I took advantage of that.
So but, here's a crazy fact, Drake, you'll like this one too, because Drake and I always like to bring up how, what the coaching staff thought of us. And KF made it known in the press conference. I don't think KF was real happy with Drake's comments about body bags in Ohio State. And in that post-game press conference, he actually said that people did not like me the first couple years in the program, which was true.
Or the last couple. So you just got that right.
Any of the 5 years, nobody liked me. It's okay.
Hey.
I read an article that said, this is wild to me because this means something. So you didn't have a pro day because it got cut off with COVID, this damn virus. And so that was huge for you. You were a fringe guy. Those days, and I can think about a lot of guys, Subert included, comes to mind just because of the snapper connection. Like, you need those days. That's a big day where more than, you know, every 100%. Single organization in the league comes into Iowa City and gets to watch guys do what they do, gets to talk to KF, gets to talk to Coach Doyle at the time, at least. And you didn't have that day. I want your thoughts on that when you learned that wasn't going to be the case, because that would have hurt me for sure, knowing I wasn't going to get that opportunity. But not only that, a bunch of guys in your class went to the combine. KF called the people at the combine. He's only done it twice in his 20-plus year career, about calling the combine and telling them that, hey, I think you got this one wrong. Aaron Campman was one, and you were the other guy. That's pretty special, dude.
Yeah. Like when Coach Ferentz kind of came up to me, you know, we were training for pro day and you guys went through the deal. Mm-hmm. Like I was like in the best shape of my life. Like I was throwing up the best numbers that I've ever thrown up. Like, and it was like, I was excited for pro day because I knew there was guys at the combine, because the combine did happen, and there was guys there that just didn't belong there. Like, it wasn't even close. Like, there's guys that were just awful.
Scrubs.
And I even talked to, like, NFL coaches after that, and they had, like, validated that. But, yeah, like Coach Ferentz came up to me. He's like, hey, you know, I know you didn't get a combine invite. Like, this is kind of flashback. But, like, he's like, you know, I'm going to, you know, try to see what I can do. Like, I've only reached out, you know, okay. Trying to impersonate him, but like,
you want me to do
only
it?
Only reached out.
Hey,
yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Christian, how you doing? You know, I didn't, I don't know what the fuck they're thinking. Okay. With the combine. Yeah. All right. I don't know. I got some contacts. I'm going to reach out, see if I can get you in. I think they fucked up. You're a good player. Good player, Christian. Did a lot for us here.
That's about right right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, he said that, like, I've only ever done it one time. Like, I was like, I really appreciate that, coach. Like, you know, like, I hope it works. But, you know, I ended up not working. So I'm like, all right, you know, looking forward to pro day. Like, I'm just going to work hard, you know, kind of do the same mindset that I've had throughout coming out of high school, college. You know, it's got me success. So, yeah, coming in up, and then, you know, Coach Dell is there, and he's like, you know, guys, I don't know what's going to happen. It's like, we're not going to move the date. But, you know, if we could do it virtual and we'll film everything, we'll try to get a scout here to verify the times, whatever, this and that. And then it comes, like, I don't know how many days, like 10 days before actual pro day. So we're coming down to the wire. Like, we're, you know, like the phase you go through, like, we're, you know.
You're peaked out, dude. You were ready to run a fucking 399 pro agility.
Yeah. But anyway, and then we kind of heard, like, okay, well, the university's shutting down. We're like, you got to be kidding me. And then, like, the next thing we knew was, like, well, is pro day going to be canceled? Can't be canceled. Found out it was canceled. So yeah, that was super shattering, obviously, with just my situation. That was going to kind of be, you know, I had some interest, right? Like, there was a lot of coaches that had, and scouts that had reached out and said, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing you on pro day, like, really looking. And just to not have that opportunity to kind of turn some heads, really, that still hurts to this day.
Yeah, yeah. Just, I was going to say, that had to take a little bit of a toll. I mean, it ended up working out, right? And we'll talk
about that. If I'd have got that news, I might have figured out how to make a pipe bomb, and I might have just pipe bombed the complex out of pure fucking rage.
Oh, no, yeah. It was brutal, man. I went back home. I literally went back home, and what now? I didn't know what to do. I went back to Wisconsin.
Drake was going to go domestic terrorist.
Oh my God.
I know it. So that's Drake for you. I understand that, though. Yeah. That sucks. And mentally, that had to mess with you, right?
Yeah, no, definitely.
So what? Definitely. I mean, you just hung out, right? Till the draft?
I tried to make the most of it. My agent, kind of sent out my projected times, to these coaches. And then also I did, it's kind of funny. I don't even know if the coaches even saw this, but I had a tripod, right?
You just went out and did your own pro day.
I went to Stevens Point, University of Stevens Point, which is the nearest turf field. There's no turf fields around the house. It's middle of nowhere. So I go out to this field and there's literally snowbanks in the back. And I literally recorded all the combine, position specific stuff.
Yep.
All the, the lateral movement. My dad's out there, coaching me, reactive stuff. It's kind of funny.
Man, I love that.
Now that I look back, it was kind of.
That's like.
He's throwing balls to me and stuff. I'm catching,
Man, you guys were in the dirt. You were grinding.
Yeah, because I had the numbers, right? They can say what they want about the numbers, but it's coming from, Coach Doyle in the Iowa. So, there has some, weight to it. So that was the next thing was okay, I got to show these coaches that I can move. So that was what I tried to do. And I made all these videos. I edited it myself. I had it all set up and my agent, and he would just send it out to as many people as he could. Here's Welch's movement tape or whatever.
Damn.
So that was the next best thing that we could do was to try to emulate what would, pro day would try to show these coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know to this day if any coaches even actually watched it or whatever.
That brings
but
me
it was
back
an effort.
Yeah, that flashes me back to high school when I was putting together my long snapping tape. And I would send it to, I looked up every single recruiting coordinator and every single special teams coach for every single team in the Big 12, the Big 10, the MAC, and probably the SEC too, because I thought I was pretty good, and just sent it out. To this day, I have no idea if anyone ever received it. Yeah, that's
exactly.
And that's a kind of a helpless feeling. You're just like, I don't know how to get this done, but I can get it done.
Right.
So then draft weekend rolls around, and what was that like?
Yep. I had quite a bit of interest. I was actually almost surprised because of having no pro day. I was like, well, if I would have had a pro day now, what would that attention look like?
Right.
I was getting some, a handful of teams. There's probably 8 or 9 teams that were pretty, not super serious, but I could say they might, not necessarily draft, but after the draft, they might, pull the contract. Hey. Leading up to the draft, I just was there was a couple teams that were hey, we have a couple late draft picks. We might try to see if we can do something.
You got the bullshit.
They're sweet talking you. Right. Exactly. My agent's don't worry about what they're saying.
We really want you, Christian. If you're there, we're going to take you.
Exactly. That was kind of what they were saying. And I didn't buy it. I was I'm going undrafted. Now I'm looking at what other teams are drafting.
Yep.
What pieces are they drafting and what could be the best fit and stuff. So, waited the whole draft, and it wasn't until after obviously the draft that I got the call. So
what were the other opportunities, or were the Ravens kind of hey, if it's there, that's what I'm going with?
The Bears were a team that was super, super interested. There was actually a position coach that coached at Iowa. He was with the Kansas City Chiefs, coached Ben there, and then he went to the Bears. So I had that connection. And then the Titans were another team that were super interested. Once it came to draft day, it's like they had no more interest. It was it fell through. Wow. They really didn't have they didn't really call, and well, they'd be calling my agent, but like, it wasn't like serious, like, hey, we're going to sign you. It was more like, hey, we can't help. You know what I mean? It's a numbers deal. It's a business. But then the Ravens were like, they're like right as the draft ended. It actually was before, I think it was like the seventh round. It was finishing up, and they were like, hey, like, we want to sign you right now. Like, we want you right now. Like, we're going to like, let's do this. So I was like, okay, let's go. Like,
that felt good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was like, they were super authentic and like really top of the, you know, line type of organization. The way that they handled business was the way that, you know, I would want it to go, really. Especially as an undrafted guy, like, and I was the only undrafted linebacker that they signed. They did draft two other linebackers, which is really another story, kind of how dynamic of us right now. But yeah, like, I was, you know, obviously happy to sign with them and the history that they had. Like I was talking earlier about the undrafted linebackers and how they can, you know, make the team and find their niche in special teams. So
is Patrick Queen actually the next Ray Lewis, or are they blowing smoke?
No, Patrick's he's more of like he's a quick lateral slashing playmaker. That'd probably be like the best way I could frame like his style.
When do you get to come out of the tunnel and do the Ray Lewis dance, and then they, you know, they have the whole,
yeah,
you do the, you know, the sweep and the sweep.
Yeah.
When does Christian Welch get to that level?
Maybe, you know, maybe this year, maybe next year. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I don't think they have too many guys that at Ray Lewis's level.
Do you watch a lot of film of him?
Yeah, I've watched a handful. Like, even like before the draft, like, I would watch film of different teams that I could potentially be playing for, trying to prepare. But yeah, like him, CJ Mosley played for the Ravens a couple years ago.
That boy.
Yeah, like, really, really good player. And then this last year, we still have, you know, LJ Ford, who's actually a UNI guy.
Yeah, he's friends with Ike.
Yeah, I found that out after I met up with LJ. And
Ike's taking a bunch of his money playing NHL on Xbox.
Geez. Yeah, that was the thing back in college, dude. If I could needed to take his girlfriend on a nice dinner, he would just play LJ in NHL real quick, and then he would have the money to take Katie out.
That's funny. I never knew that. That's funny.
It's a great story. Yeah. I remember one weekend they played like six games, and Ike won like five out of six, and it was up a grand. And I was like, motherfucker, I gotta make some friends with some NFL dudes who suck at video games, dude.
Yeah, that's funny. I never knew that. Yeah, but no, like, seeing those guys on film, like, they're all great football players, obviously. And they're not going to be there if you're not. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, watching all those guys on film definitely helped me kind of prepare for, you know, what to expect. And as far as, like, the defensive scheme, at least with the Ravens, like, it's probably 10 times that of Iowa, maybe even more.
Jesus. That's crazy.
It's a lot of football. But
you spent a lot of time, like I said, on the practice squad, but you got called up for a couple game days. Heart starts to flutter a little bit there. Like, holy shit, this is the real deal now. What did that feel like?
Yeah. So I guess kind of leading up to that, you know, there was talks about me possibly making the roster, this and that. Numbers kind of happened, and they sent me the practice squad. I actually pulled my hamstring like right before our first game. Mm-hmm. So I got put on IR for 3 weeks. Fast forward, come back, start showing them that I'm healthy. And I'm playing scout team, you know, running down on kickoff and, you know, trying to, you know, do my best, whatever. But that was where I dedicated my efforts, like, obviously. And so I'm trying to remember exactly how it went. So I come back in that first week, I'm on the scout team. Then like the next week, I'm like, you know, like, maybe there's a chance that I could start getting in some of these reps and special teams and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so, sure enough, you know, I start stepping in, getting some reps with the ones and twos. And I'm like, hey, like, this might happen. Like, I'm acting like I'm going to start special teams that week. Like, that's my mentality. So like, when it does happen, like, I'm ready. So yeah, like, the first game I played was against the Eagles. I think it was week 6 or 7, something like that. And I'm like, holy crap. Like, I'm going to the game. Like, I'm wearing a jersey. Like, I'm in the locker room. And it was like a super surreal, like, and I had like great mentors, great leaders on the team that like, are, hey, like, it's just football. Like, we've seen you can play, like, just do that. Like, just be you, really, was what they're trying to like say.
Right.
And that helped a lot, you know, like, coming in, we play in the Big Ten, so like we play in front of a lot of people,
right?
Like, you know, so like that, I could like, I wasn't really like nervous necessarily. I was more just like excited to really like kind of fulfill this dream of mine, like to be able to step out on the field and be like I did it. But yeah, like that played that first game, you know, played pretty good, solid, had a tackle. And it was like, okay, like we'll see where this goes. Like, and then the next week got called up again. And I was like, dang, like, okay, like I'm starting to get more comfortable, you know, like technique and stuff. And I'm playing special teams. So, you know, like the punt footwork, the protection, the pro style is different than what we had at Iowa.
You're doing the old slide.
Yeah, like we actually don't kick slide it with the Ravens, but really? It's like a, yeah, it's kind of different. I mean, if you watch the, like tape or something, it's like a jab and then like you kind of jump back, which I actually like better than the kick slide because we've played like the Titans and the teams that kick slide and you come back and like you're on punt return, you can get underneath their pads and because they're going back anyway. Like I just knock them back like an extra 3 yards.
Yeah,
like,
you can Adrian Claiborne them and just.
Yeah, yeah.
It's over.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, like I was getting more comfortable with things, getting in a groove and it was from then on, I ended up playing the rest of the year. Like it was really surreal. It went fast, kind of got more comfortable every game, and kind of just relaxed and played like it. And as you guys know, as you play looser, you know, the better that you play.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. Man, just listen to you tell, I mean, it is just football, but just listening to you tell the story is like, ooh, gets me fired up. I love it. You've dealt with injuries several times in your career, going all the way back to Iowa.
Yeah.
What has your mentality hardened, do you think, having to go through that adversity? I know you went through like a neck stinger that got you out for like three weeks in college. Yeah, hamstring you just mentioned, like those setbacks, a lot of people, they don't bounce back from that kind of stuff. What do you think you attribute you coming back and being able to get back to where you were?
Yeah, like a lot of my injuries, I mean, that stinger was probably like the most frustrating injury that I've ever dealt with, and missing like the Wisconsin game, most memorable, because I was really close to being able to come back. It just kind of, you know, the medical staff decided that I just wasn't able to play. But being able to come back in that Minnesota game was sweet, 'cause that was like my best game in my college career. But yeah, really just coming through injuries, I really just trusted in God, like his plan, like he was in control the whole time, still is. So I really just trusted in him. 'Cause there was times where I was like, why is this happening? Like what are we doing? Like, this isn't part of the storyline. Like what, why am I not playing against Wisconsin, my home state, in their home stadium to go beat their ass? Like we deserve to beat them that year. Yeah. Like it was just like, why? So really I just trusted in him. And like I said, came back Minnesota game. They were undefeated coming into our house. Like
that game was lit. They had,
yeah. Like that was the most fun game that I've ever played in, like started in my life. And like, wearing the all black, it was sweet.
Those unis so too, like, man. Those unis. Yeah, were nice.
I literally get goosebumps just thinking about it. Like playing the best game of my life, coming back, and I was like, "I'm back, baby! Like, let's go!" Like there's a reason for everything. I don't have all the answers coming up to even this last year hamstring. Like, I just really just is like take the mentality of, okay, like what can I do to get better? Like now I'm hurt, but like can I study more mentally? Yeah. Can I get an extra cold tub or, you know, whatever it is, however I can find an edge, like I'm going to do it. Like that's kind of how I've gotten to where I am.
That's awesome.
So yeah, coming through injuries is not easy, but there is a path and it, you know, you just got to endure it.
Day by day. Sounds like it's just it's that slight edge. It's that slight edge, baby.
Exactly. Exactly.
You, what does the off season look like for you? You said you're training in Iowa City.
Yeah.
And
why aren't you at the barn, bro? You got to go to the barn. It's starting to become like the.
Oh yeah, I heard. Yeah, I was talking to TJ, at some event a couple of weeks ago. He's like, "Yeah, I'm training with George, and I've seen like some pictures on Instagram and stuff. Like, it looks sweet. Definitely gonna need to make a trip. I like Nashville too. It seems like a cool city. So, you know, definitely like next year, gonna have to make a trip down there.
What's the focus of the off season? Like trying to take things from the older guys, how they do stuff in the off season, just because you got to be smart, right? You can't just like,
yeah,
you can't be 100% all year. You have to take rest. You have to take care of your body in the NFL.
Yeah.
You don't have George money, but you know, you've got resources to kind of work with and take that extra precaution of just keeping your body intact. What does that look like for you as a young guy, just trying to,
honestly, you're
still in the business of it, right? At all times. And you probably feel that anxiety of trying to keep your job. So
yeah.
How do you approach that?
I'm kind of learning, still as my first real off season, really. Just training, the way that we train at Iowa, like we went through a period where it was just lift. Like it was a pretty light warm up lift. And now we're working into more specific, like a more of a, you know, change of direction. You guys know change of direction, linear movement stuff. Not to get too technical, but, you kind of ramp it up and now we're into more like football movement stuff. We're still competing and things like that. Just kind of doing movements like that. And then still always emphasizing on like I was talking about the punt footwork and like still staying fresh mentally on that stuff and running full speed. So doing stuff like that, like I get a massage, for example, like every other week, like doing soft tissue stuff, do the Hypervolt, the massage gun.
Yep.
I got like the Normatec compression boots. Like I'll hit those a couple times a week. So like stuff like that is really what I've been trying to do. Just to kind of stay ahead of recovery. You guys know, we emphasize that.
Yeah.
Supplements and stuff. So
now talking about supplements, I swear to God, you found something that must be black market. I'm going to share the screen here. Hold on a second. For those,
I didn't know what you're about to say. Oh yeah. Okay.
Bro. You see this? Can you see that?
Those are some pretty good looking biceps, boys.
My guy. What are you on?
Yeah. What are you
taking to get those veins popping like that? Because I'm trying to. Christian Welch found the barrel of steroids in the back of the Ravens locker room. I swear to God, something happened. Because when I saw that Instagram post, I thought,
I'm Drake.
I sent it to the group, didn't I? I said, "What is Christian doing? He is an absolute savage."
I mean, you look real. I think it's biceps definitely looking beastie in that picture.
I mean, it's probably just good lighting and your blood was flowing, but you look good.
I appreciate that. Quick credit to the Ravens. Now, like the strength and conditioning with the Ravens is the real deal. Like it's you can compare it to other teams. It's not even close. Like I've talked to a handful, Werfs and other guys, like it's not even. It's you guys know, like the eccentric movements, right?
Yep.
Like the tempo.
Yeah.
That's all we do, really.
Oh, yeah.
It's so like it's brutal. Like
I really love that.
Like, we're talking quarter punches. Like I came into like the first week of training, like in the off season, like after the draft, all that. And I was like, bro, like I am like
toasted,
messed up.
I love it.
I'm sitting there they really push you a lot. As far as my biceps looking like that, I mean, I got to credit some of that to the strength program. Like it sucks, but like you are getting stronger. Like
it's working. It's working clearly.
Yeah. So
before we let you go, also AJ commented on that Instagram picture. Yes, sir. If you got Epi's approval, you're doing something right. Quickly before we go, this Iowa defense coming up this year, it's about to be a net back seven. We're about to be lean and mean. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Tell me, is Jack Campbell
that's my guy.
Is he the best? Is he the best ever? Or is he going to be he's six? He's 6'5", 245 and special.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't watched their practice like this last spring ball or anything. So I don't really know as far as how he's progressed. I've seen him in the games.
But as a freshman, you were with him though.
Yeah, I can talk to that. Like, this dude walks in skinny, like, got the frame. Obviously, you said 6'5". Like, he's all 6'4", for sure. Like, he's well above me. Comes in, and I'm like, all right, let's, kind of see what this kid's about. he starts going out there for the threes, and this dude's like flying around. Like, he's like smart kid, first of all. Like, he's probably gonna be better than me for sure when I was in college, like, no doubt. But this dude,
I want him to be better than Josie.
Maybe, yeah, 100%.
So that, yeah, so that they can put his face up on the wall.
Yeah,
and,
yeah,
and we can stop talking about 43 around this podcast because, like we said, yeah, I mean, it's just too much sucking around here. And yeah, I mean, we got it for, no, well, we got to have Josie on soon, and just so we can set him down a little bit. But he's probably like making an acai bowl right now or something. So he's busy.
Yeah,
yeah, man. Jack, and not only that, but we've got a defense. A lot of guys that you played with. Hankins is still there. Came back for a,
yeah,
like a COVID year. Riley Moss is going to be in his senior season. Kayvon, yeah, Merriweather, Jack Kerner. I mean, we're stacked. Yeah. I mean, the DBs are stacked. Like, we, yeah, got experience up the ass, and then we have, right, Benson, Campbell, and maybe my favorite player, Dane Belton.
Yeah.
So
yeah, like he's come a long way too. In the last couple of years,
Dane's going to play 10 years
Dane's
in the league.
Gonna be solid.
He's going to be the best safety in the league.
Yeah.
And I'm calling it. That's just what it is.
Yeah. He's a solid player. He's got really good change of direction, really all the fundamental things that we talk about. Like,
yeah,
he's got it all. Like, he's really good. Like, really going to be a good player.
Yeah. So those are some of the young guys that you got to see on your way out that I'm excited about. Yeah. And you helped shape the defense. You know, you were part of that.
Yeah.
Not Josie. Yeah. You. Take that with you. Man, good to catch up, Christian. We're glad you joined us. I really appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks for having me, guys.
Episode 205 of the podcast. It took us a while to get you on. Sorry. There's a lot of assholes.
That's all good.
This is a lot of assholes that we got to bring on this thing.
Yeah.
Thanks, you guys, for listening to the podcast. We will be back again on Thursday. Kevin probably won't be here because I'm sending his letter of what would you call that?
Resignation?
No, that would be if it came from him. A letter of termination to his address, probably right after we stop this podcast. So that's it. 205. Drake, if you watch the YouTube, you got to see his cleaned up mullet. Looks real nice. Christian Welch doing big things out in Baltimore. We're excited to watch you this season. And Hawks by a million, baby. Talk to you next time. Peace.
I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.